This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
Good evening, listeners. You're listening to WRFL Lexington. My name is Melissa, and this is Sexually Speaking. Sexually Speaking is a weekly talk show and podcast on WRFL that informs listeners about the latest facts and research on human sexuality. The show is based on facts and not my opinions. We urge listeners to explore new ideas and make up their own minds about information pertaining to their sexuality. So last week I had talked about that this week we were going to go over just some facts about sexuality, but then it crossed my mind that May is National Masturbation Month. So we are going to talk about masturbation this week. Question is, who masturbates? And most people masturbate. You know, guys masturbate, girls masturbate, you know, single people and people in relationships masturbate. You know, some people masturbate a couple times a day, some only every once in a while. And it's also completely normal if your girlfriend or boyfriend masturbates or wants to masturbate. It doesn't mean that they're not into you or that you're not enough. It just means they like to masturbate. But, of course, you should only masturbate if you want to. Some people never do, and that's totally fine. So we've got some questions about masturbation, and then we're going to go over some myths about masturbation. So the first question is, what are the benefits of masturbation? And masturbation could be good for, you know, your mental and physical health. People, you know, who feel good or feel good about their bodies and sex and masturbation are more likely to protect themselves from sexually transmitted infections and unintentional pregnancies. Masturbation is also one of the best ways that we can learn about our sexuality. You know, it helps us explore the types of touch we like and the most, the type of touch we like the most and can help us learn how to get excited and how to reach orgasm. Learning about what feels good to you can increase your chances of feeling sexual pleasure with sex partners. When you know what you like when it comes to sex, your comfort with sex increases, which absolutely makes sense. And when your, you know, confidence and comfort level is higher, it's easier to let your partner know what you like. It makes it easier to talk about it. It's not as embarrassing or as, you know, hard. It just makes it a little more comfortable. Masturbation can enhance our physical, mental, and sexual health and the health of our sexual relationships, which makes some sense. So to cap that part, really, you know, recap it really quickly. How they like to be touched and stimulated sexually, can increase the ability to have orgasms, can improve relationship and sexual satisfaction, can improve sleep, which is nice because we all need it, can increase self-esteem and improve your body image. It can provide sexual pleasure for people without partners, including the elderly, rate of STIs than anywhere else. Because older people seem to forget that just because they can't get pregnant, you still have to worry about STIs. So you've got one man for like every 10 women. So you need to make sure you're safe. Or just masturbate. It can provide sexual pleasure for people who choose to abstain from sexual activities with someone else. So if you decide that you don't want to be sexual with someone else, you can still enjoy the pleasures of an orgasm. It can provide treatment for sexual dysfunction. It can reduce your stress, which as students, we all know that we need. It can release sexual tension, which is also something we all need. It can strengthen muscle tone in the pelvic and anal areas, and it can reduce women's chances of involuntary urine leakage and urine prolapse, which sounds good to me. So yeah, those are some recaps of things that result from masturbation. So let's see. I don't want to go too fast because there's... Oh, nope, we got lots of questions. Okay, so we're going to talk about some myths about masturbation. One myth is that women can become addicted to vibrators. First of all, I think this is ridiculous, but let's go over some reasons why that's not true. First, there's been a lot of research done on the topic of becoming, addicted to vibrators, and the general consensus seems to be that vibrators are great. And on my little outline here, I highlighted great because it is great. Frequent use may temporarily make you less responsive to, subtler, I can't pronounce that, so we'll just skip that, stimulation, but there is no risk of becoming addicted. So masturbate away. Deciding to use a vibrator for masturbation or even, incorporating it into sexual activities with another person can be really fun and, be an addition to your sex life. So who doesn't want to have fun? Let's see. I've got lots of myths here, so I'm trying to pick the best ones. Let's see. All right. People in relationships don't masturbate. Of course, that is not true. Somewhere along the line, some people decided that having a soul. In fact, mutual masturbation can be quite pleasurable for both partners. Research shows just the opposite, actually, of people in relationship don't masturbate. People who have regular sex partners are more likely to masturbate than people without sex needs to masturbate. But most people, no matter what gender, do masturbate. People masturbate for similar reasons, like, it feels good, it's relaxing, or simply that it's part of being a human with a body. All makes sense. Sexuality is kind of like breathing and the need to eat. Whether you're asexual or super into sex, it's still a form of sexuality, and we need to remember that. So statistically, men may masturbate slightly more than women, but not by much. In fact, research shows that about 7 out of 10 adult men and more than 5 out of 10 adult women masturbate. So that being said, not everyone's masturbation habits are going to be the same. Some people might masturbate more than once a day, and some people might only masturbate once in a while or once a year. And, also some people might never masturbate. And all of these habits are completely healthy and normal. So masturbate away. All right, next myth. Oh, okay, speaking of elderly, the next myth is that masturbation stops or should stop at a certain age. So just like there's no right time to start masturbating, there's also no right time to stop masturbating. Masturbation isn't something you can grow out of. People of all ages can and do masturbate. It's completely and perfectly healthy no matter how old you are. So let's find one more before we have to take. So while women do have a finite number of eggs, we were each born with about 2 million. The same is not true for men when it comes to the amount of semen they produce. Men make new semen every single day. So it's important to note that masturbation does not cause men to run out of semen. Once a guy hits puberty, he'll continue to produce semen for the rest of his life. So there you go. Women have a finite number and men infinite. So there you have it. All right, we're going to take a little bit of a break, and we will be right back with Sexually Speaking. We have been talking about masturbation. It is May, and May is National Masturbation Month. So I figured instead of talking about an overview of sexuality like we talked about last week, that we would go ahead and talk about masturbation. So when we left, we were talking about some myths about masturbation. And we had ended, about men can run out of semen, which we learned is not true. While women have a finite number of eggs, men have an infinite number of semen. They produce new semen every single day. So let's go on to our next myth, and that is masturbation hurts your stamina for sports or working out. So if you're masturbating over and over to the point of exhaustion, it might throw you off your game, but this is true for any physical activity, particularly one that repeatedly uses the same muscles. So it's no different than doing any other physical activity. If you're going to do it over and over and over, of course, it might wear you out. But it doesn't mean that masturbation specifically hurts your stamina for sports or working out. Let's see. Ooh, I like this one. I think this is our last one, too. We'll see. Women have a finite number of orgasms. Gonna go ahead right now and say not true. But some people believe that you can use up, and I'm doing quotation marks, but you guys can't see it, all of your orgasms, or that you can get older. Or that as you get older, your ability to have orgasms just naturally go away. Of course, this is absolutely not true. In fact, we just talked about seniors and their ability to masturbate and have fun. The amount of orgasms you have or the older you get has nothing to do with your ability to have an orgasm in the future, nor does it change the quality of orgasm you experience. In fact, masturbation can help you learn... Masturbation can help you learn about your body more, which can lead to better orgasms. So if anything, these things can help make, you know, your future orgasms better because you'll have a better idea of what you like. So, I shouldn't say that. I just did. I read a quote somewhere that said, "Fortunately for all of us, orgasms aren't like teeth. We all have the potential for an infinite number." And I think that's the perfect quote for this myth. All right, so that's all of our myths that we have. We talked about the myth women can become addicted to vibrators. Actually, there's no risk of this. People in relationships don't masturbate, and we learned that absolutely not the case. In fact, masturbating or touching yourself with your partner can actually increase your sexual activity. Then we talked about men have to masturbate, but women don't. And, you know, first of all, we talked about that no one needs to, but that everyone does. You know, not just women, not just men, but everyone. And then we talked about masturbation stops or should stop at a certain age. But as we've covered several times already, that even the elderly are still masturbating and engaging in sexual activity. Then we talked about masturbation hurts your stamina for sports or working out. And we learned that is not true. However, we did talk about that any sort of physical activity, especially one that you do over and over and over, can cause exhaustion. And it, you know, that can wear you out. But the fact that it's masturbating does not mean that it's going to, you know, hurt your stamina for sports or working out. Then we talked about men can run out of semen. That's not true. They make new semen every day. However, women do have a finite number of eggs. We're each born with about 2 million. Let's see. We talked about women have a finite number of orgasms. This is absolutely not true. The amount of orgasms you have or the older you get has nothing to do with your ability to have orgasms in the future, nor does it... change the quality of orgasms you experience. Let's see. All right, here we go. Just to recap some of the most common myths when it comes to masturbation. Masturbation does not cause hair to grow on the palms of your hand or other strange places. Can't believe that's actually a thing, but apparently it is. It does not lead to blindness. Don't worry, you'll still be able to see. It does not make sex organs shrink or grow or change color, texture, or appearance. Just stay the same. Masturbation does not stunt your growth. And masturbation does not cause infertility. Men and boys will not run out of semen, as we talked about earlier. Masturbation is not addictive. Don't worry about it. And it does not cause injury or harm. Although I guess if you were a little more vigorous, it might not feel as well. It does not lead to mental illness or instability, and it definitely does not make you gay. There, I'm trying to find more listener questions. Let's see. All right, here's a listener question. If my partner masturbates without me, does that mean they aren't interested in me sexually? And this was sent in by someone anonymously. So, my answer would be some people, and quite a few actually, seem to think that masturbating when you have a partner means something's wrong with you or your relationship. But as we've learned on tonight's show, masturbation is one of the things that helps us improve and enjoy sex even more. can actually help enhance sex both physically and emotionally with our partners. So, yeah, I keep doing it. All right, let's see if I can find some more listener questions. All right, I'm going to keep looking for listener questions, and we're going to go ahead and play some music. This is WRFL, and you're listening to Sexually Speaking. All right, guys, we are back. You are listening to Sexually Speaking, and my name is Melissa. So I was looking for more listener questions, and I found some stuff on consent. So the first question is, what if a person does not give consent or cannot give consent? And this was sent in by someone that sent it in anonymously. So no matter what, if your partner says no during sex or asks you to stop, you must stop immediately. Saying no should not be treated as a game or as a sign that someone is playing hard to get. You know, no means no, no matter what, in any sexual encounter. Sometimes circumstances make it impossible for a person to legally give consent. These circumstances usually involve cases in which a person is not mentally or physically capable of choosing whether to engage in sexual behavior. I just can't speak tonight. For instance, if someone is drunk or high on drugs, then that person cannot give consent. This means that even if someone seems eager to engage in sexual behavior, doing so can legally be considered sexual assault or rape if that person is intoxicated. Good to know. Age also plays a role in determining whether a person can legally consent to certain sexual behaviors. Ask. That would be my response. Just ask them. The next question is, if I'm in a relationship, do I have to get consent every single time we do anything sexual? That was sent in by a UK student. And the answer would be yes, 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 absolutely, every single time. Just because you're in a relationship doesn't guarantee that every time you want to engage in a sexual activity, your partner does also. So yes, absolutely, you have to get consent every single time. And when you getting consent is not something where you have to stop and say, hey, do you want to do this? You can, you know, there's other ways of getting consent, you know, listening to your partner in the way they respond to things. That would be a way. Or just asking, you know your partner. There's ways to ask. Let's see. Okay, here we go. Since those questions were about consent, let's just kind of wrap that up a little bit. The situation or environment does not speak for you. Only you can give consent. So just because you're in a situation where you're at a party or you're out about town and you're flirting with someone, that does not mean that you give consent. That just means that you're out and you're at a party or you're in public having fun. You still have to give consent. So for example, just because someone was making out with someone doesn't mean they are consenting to anything else. It doesn't mean that they want more or they want less. It means that's what you're doing and they're not consenting to anything else. Just because someone is dressed in some sort of revealing clothing, that doesn't mean they are consenting to sex either. And just because someone goes up to another person's bedroom does not mean they are consenting to sex. I think that one gets overlooked a lot. I think, people, if they're going up to your room, means they want more than just what you're doing. But that does not mean they are consenting to sex. The only thing that matters when it comes to consent is the people and the moment of sexual activity and whether or not each one of them is consenting. Everything else, the environment, their clothing, whether they were drinking, what they said earlier, is completely irrelevant. When we focus on just that, when we focus on just that person in that moment, consent is actually really clear. So there we go. That's what we're going to talk about as far as consent goes. I'm going to see if I can find some more questions that listeners sent in when it comes to masturbation, since it is National Masturbation Month. I need to learn how to talk tonight. And that being said, we need to take a little break really quick, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. You are listening to Sexually Speaking. This is Melissa. We had just been going over some listener questions. We had some questions about masturbation. We've been talking about masturbation since May is National Masturbation Month. And we just got done asking or reading some questions sent in by some students and anonymous people about consent. And now we are going to go over some, I found some more listener questions. I don't really have them organized, which I probably should do. But anyways, let's see. This one says, it's an anonymous student at UK, and they ask, can someone really be born with both girl and boy body parts? Yes. This sometimes is referred to as intersex. Intersex is a general term used to describe a variety of conditions where a person might be born with a reproductive or sexual anatomy that doesn't seem to fit the typical definitions of female or male. An example might be if a person might be born appearing to be female on the outside but having mostly male typical anatomy on the inside. Another example might be, a person may be born with genitals that seem to be in between. Wait a minute. I can't read. I love when you guys send in questions, but if I can't read them. All right, here we go. I'm sorry. For example, a girl may be born with a noticeably larger clitoris or lacking of a vaginal opening, or a boy might be born with a notably small penis or with a scrotum that is divided so that it has formed more like a labia, or a person might be born with mosaic genitals so that some of her cells have excess chromosomes and some of them have Y, or XY, sorry, not just Y. And one last thought, what did I... Okay, we're going to listen to some music really quick while I find some more listener questions. I didn't really prepare for that really well. So here we go. We'll be right back. You're listening to WRFL Lexington, Kentucky. We are back with Sexually Speaking. My name is Melissa. So we were talking about National Masturbation Month, and then we answered some listener questions about consent. Now we are going to listen. We're going to read some more listener questions. This is from a Lexington listener named Alex, and Alex asks, is there an objectively subjective incorrect response when sexting? When it comes to sexting, always make sure that both partners are okay with it first, and as long as the two of you are on the same page with what is acceptable and what isn't, and as long as you're both in a healthy, trusting relationship, whatever kind of relationship that may be, then what you text should be absolutely acceptable. I would note, though, that if you send someone a text over and over and over and they don't respond, it's generally not a good idea to keep sending them texts. I would quit. See, the next question, an anonymous listener in Lexington, they ask, what is a vulva? And I'm actually not surprised that most people don't know what a vulva is because it's a word that is not used that often. And although it does seem to be making a comeback, the vulva is, it's a term used to describe a female's external genitalia. It includes the labia majora, the labia minora, the clitoris, the urethra, and the vaginal opening. And in short, it's the soft folds of skin, between a woman or a girl's legs. Commonly, it's referred to as a vagina, but a vagina is internal and a vulva is external. Like to bring that term back. And this is the last listener question, and then we're just going to go with music for the rest of the time. We have one more hour. And the question is, what are blue balls? When a guy is sexually excited but doesn't ejaculate, sometimes he can get like an achy feeling in his testicles or like his lower abdomen. The slang name for this, of course, is blue balls. But what happens during quote unquote blue balls is that the blood has rushed to the genitals to create an erection and it takes time to move back out of that area. The name blue balls comes from the myth that a guy's balls were turned blue or fall off if he doesn't ejaculate. And I can assure you that this is not true. They're not going to fall off. And while it may not feel the most comfortable, there are no long-term health risks and they are not going to fall off. I assure you, men. Eventually, the erection will go away or the guy will ejaculate and the pressure, it'll be relieved. And then also, girls can get a similar feeling if they don't have an orgasm after they are sexually aroused. It may not be as severe of a feeling, but since guys and girls' bodies both respond to sexual excitement, it makes sense that it would happen to girls too. And then there's another, like, a lot of men like to say, well, you know, when they're hit in their genitals, that it really, really hurts and that a woman could never feel anything close to that. That's not necessarily true either. Our fallopian tubes and the egg sacs that are there are what would have been testicles. And so if there is a lot of pressure put on the cervix, that can move the muscles back and forth. And have this be the last part of our show. We're just going to do music for the rest of the last hour. I do want to point out that you guys can send in your listener questions. You can send them to our email address, which is sexuallyspeakingradio@gmail.com. You can reach us via Facebook at www.facebook.com/SXLY Speaking or on Twitter at SXLY Speaking. So I want to thank you guys for listening to Sexually Speaking on WRFL. We will see you next week, Lexington. And next week we have, her name is Caitlin Bentley, and she is from the BRCC, which is the Bluegrass Rape Crisis Center, and she's going to come on and talk to us a little bit about consent, which we talked about a little bit today, and then, you know, what the BRCC does and what services they offer. That being said, I will sign off and talk to you guys next week.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.fm and, of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to WRFL.fm/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.